Hi, I'm Gabriel Carrillo from the EdTech Bytes podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
You have to be there with them. You have to support them. You have to ask them, hey, what can I do to help? What can I show you? What can we do?
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hello, Leader of Learning. Welcome to episode 108. We are back to a once a week release schedule. So this will, for the first time in a few weeks, be the only episode that gets released this week, but it's going to be a great one. My guest in this episode, Rob Breyer, is a principal in North Carolina and an author of an upcoming book in which he talks about helping leaders make the transition from their education and preparatory programs into more formal leadership roles. But what I loved about this conversation was that I got to talk to Rob about leadership from all angles and not just how people can be leaders if they're in a traditional leadership role like an administrator, but really how they can lead from any role regardless of what title they have. I can't wait for you to listen. I know you're going to get a lot of value out of it. So coming up is my interview with Rob Breyer. Welcome back. My next guest is Rob Breyer. Rob is a principal in North Carolina and again, another member of the Teach Better Mastermind. Rob, really grateful to have you here. And I love talking to fellow podcasters too, by the way. But anyway, before we get into all that and talking about the podcasting and the leadership and everything that I know that you're involved in, please explain a little bit more about who you are, where you are, and what you do.
So again, yeah, my name is Rob Breyer, and I'm a principal down here in North Carolina at an elementary school. And honestly, Dan, I'm excited to be on your show. When I first got into the whole idea of podcast, you were one of the first shows I ever listened to. So it's really truly an honor to be on your show. So I'm really thankful for that. But I dabble in a lot of different things. So I have the Guiding Principles podcast, which is a podcast that really is focused on servant leadership, as well as telling the story of the great things that principals are out there doing. And not even just principals, but really school leaders of all types. And I do that by sharing stories from people they work with, from their colleagues. And we celebrate the great things that they're doing in their school, because I want them to hear from the people that they are serving directly to know that, you know what, you're doing a great job. Because sometimes this job's a really lonely position. And sometimes when you take on any type of leadership, you kind of feel alone in that position. So I really want to take time to make sure that I'm honoring the people doing this work. But it serves a second purpose, and that is it provides aspiring leaders ideas to fill their toolbox. And it gives them ideas of things that they can really do and things that they can try to implement within their own schools to try and help those schools improve and get better. Because ultimately, you know, Danny Bauer says it best, but he says, you know, when leaders get better, our schools get better and everybody's better. So that's really what I'm trying to do, and trying to help people out as much as I can. Also started dabbling in writing, and I got my first book coming out, and it's called Taking the Leap. And it's a field guide for aspiring leaders. And basically the idea behind the book was I want to help those who are finishing up the MSA program and trying to help them navigate that leadership journey between the MSA program to an assistant principalship, as well as helping assistant principals take that leap up into the principalship. So, and we can talk about that later, but, and then, you know, I do some leadership coaching on the side. I work with aspiring principals and aspiring assistant principals, and I help them out and help them with interviewing techniques and stuff like that, and trying to help get more great leaders into this role. I mean, we have the greatest job ever. I love what I do. It's the most challenging, but it's also the most rewarding job that I've ever had in my life. So,
Well, let's start there, actually. You gave me a lot to go on, and I love that. But I think a couple of the things that you mentioned there are somewhat thematic, in the sense that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago that when it comes to leadership, it can be kind of isolating and leaders can feel alone. And then you just sort of mentioned again that even taking on any sort of leadership role can obviously bring about their challenges with them. So in your own experience, but especially in your work as someone who is, you know, coaching and supporting up and coming leaders, what are some ways kind of to deal with that? What are some ways around that isolation, that feeling of being alone, or just in general, the stresses and the challenges that come with leadership roles?
Well, and I think, you know, the first thing you got to do is you got to find your tribe or your PLN or just a group of people who are passionate about what you're passionate about, because you need that support. You need people who understand what drives and what drives you. And it's people that are going to be there to support you and in your corner. So getting on Twitter, you know, joining Twitter was probably one of the best things I ever did, because I got to meet so many people. Although you never meet them really face to face, it's amazing. Like if you run into an issue at school or you have a question about something, you just put it out on Twitter, and next thing you know, you got like 50, 60 responses to how you can go and work through it. But it's been really great to create a PLN there. But then joining mastermind programs like the Teach Better Mastermind, or Codebreaker has the Leadership Lounge. Danny Bauer has his Better Leaders, Better School Mastermind. It's connecting with people who are driven and are as passionate as you are about this job. And it's finding those like-minded people that you can really have great conversations around. Chris Jones is a principal up in Massachusetts, and he's a high school principal, and I'm an elementary school principal. So really, like, when you think about it, like, what do we have in common? But when the first time I ever entered the mastermind program, I'm listening to him tell this story and a challenge that he was facing. And I'm like, I know exactly where he's coming from. I could easily relate to the issues that he was facing in that challenge. And I was like, I found my place. I found exactly where I needed to be, because these are people who are going through the same things, and we could have an open conversation about it. And it was just the most powerful thing. So just find that group to connect with is probably the best advice I have for anybody who ever feels alone in their leadership journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I know that for me, and I've mentioned this so many times in the first 100 plus episodes of the show, but definitely becoming a connected educator, which for me, I think has been about a little over 5 years now, and it's gone really quickly. I can't believe 5 years, but it was literally right around this like winter time into early spring of 2016 that I can remember starting to become more active on Twitter, but especially getting onto Voxer and starting to connect with groups like EduMatch and individual educators. And I totally agree that once I did that, it's like my world opened up to obviously new people, but new ideas and just new ways of helping to push others and having others push me. I mean, you've already mentioned some groups and some names here. I mean, Danny Bauer, you know, he definitely inspired me to do what I do with this podcast. He's been a guest on the podcast twice. I've been on his, and out of the blue. Yeah, I guess I'll say out of the blue, he called me, at the time of this recording. It was a couple weeks ago now. By the time that the episode airs, it'll be almost a couple months, but he's amazingly inspirational. And I guess my point in all of this is I'm agreeing with you definitely. But also just for people out there to know that they don't have to feel confined to, you know, their own school, their own district. I guess we're doing some name dropping in this episode. You know, George Kuros talks about in The Innovator's Mindset about how basically at this point, and that book came out a few years ago, but now we're in 2021. If you choose to stay isolated, then it is just that. It's your choice, because there are so many ways to get involved and to get connected. And if you don't, then that's on you. And I don't mean to like sit here on a soapbox and you know, point fingers or like blame my listeners for not getting out there and connecting more, but you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
That was a lot, and I'm rambling, but I appreciate that sentiment, Rob, because I think that's really, really important, especially like you said, for leaders. Now, in addition to getting connected, like you said, I know that a lot of your work, as you mentioned, focuses on kind of getting folks who are coming out of the formal training into more of the experiential, you know, on the job challenges and everything that they're going to face. What are some ways that you go about doing that?
Well, you know, when you come out of that program, you know, it's an old cliche saying, but like, you don't know what you don't know. And so my job as a coach or as a mentor is to really help them to find their gaps, to find what they need more experience in. Because the problem is, like, when you go into those AP interviews, sometimes you're going up against other APs. Sometimes you're going in with people that have different programs. So like, I went through a really good program that had me really well trained. So when I walked into my first interview, I was lucky because I knew the answers to everything that was going to be asked because I was well prepared, you know, and all programs are different. And so sometimes we don't cover all the stuff like finance, scheduling, special education. So when you walk in, they start asking you things to like tell about your experiences and then reflect about how it is that you're going to use this experience to go and help the school that you're going into. Well, if you don't have that experience, you don't really know how to answer that question. So it's figuring out who they need to talk to, what the questions they need to ask, and then what experiences they need to jump into with their school. Like, for example, if you don't understand finance, the easiest thing to do is if you're at a Title I school is join that school improvement team and get in to figure out how you're going to spend your Title I money, because right there's a really good opportunity. If you're not sure about how finance in school works, sit down with your principal, sit down with your bookkeeper, have those conversations, and then ask for ways to your principal, like, hey, what can I do to help in this area so I can learn more and get better and more experience? It is really kind of being open to asking questions and having great conversations with the right people. And so that's really where a lot of my leadership goes, is just kind of helping them navigate where they're at and what experiences they really need to gain.
I'd like to piggyback off of that for a second. And I know you would agree with this, but I just want to kind of clarify, but also to extend what you said for my listeners to anybody who is a leader in education. And if you've listened to this show before, you know, I mean that is regardless of your role or your title, you're a leader. So even classroom teachers, right? As Rob said, you know, people who are maybe completing that leadership master's degree and or looking for their first role in administration, but it doesn't even necessarily have to be. I think that if you're a leader and you just want to get to know more about how the school operates and how the school can best serve its students and its stakeholders, definitely find ways to get involved, even if you don't want that official formal title. I know plenty of classroom teachers or coaches who they don't want to be an administrator, and that's fine, but they are a leader. And sometimes they're stronger and more influential leaders than the people who have the title. So I love what you said, and I'm all about people just trying to find opportunities to get more involved, but definitely don't think that it has to be because of your title or because you aspire to a certain title. So yeah, no, I love that advice. I really do.
And that's, you make a really excellent point. You know, schools can't function without people taking on leadership roles. And I think when you get an education, whether you're a leader in your classroom, you're a leader within your grade level, whether you're a leader within your school or district, like, there are certain things that you have to take time to get involved in. And we all have a learning curve. And that's the thing I love about education is every day is different. There's always a new challenge. There's always something new to learn. You know, you never come into school knowing everything. And so I think that's what I love about my job and being a school principal is I have seen over the past couple of years, some of the most amazing teachers I've ever seen. And I always think back, like, if I could have just known what I know now, when I was back in the classroom, I could have been such a much better teacher and a more effective teacher, having seen the people that I get to work with now. Like, I just have amazing, amazing teachers from every level I've ever been in, whether it was high school, middle school, and now elementary. Like, I am really jealous of the skills that I see with these teachers, and people talk badly.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me piggyback off of that for a second, because as I mentioned a minute ago, you know, I would advise anyone to kind of step up and find opportunities to lead more, even if they're classroom teachers. And you just said that now stepping out of the classroom, you have a lot of respect for classroom teaching because it has changed a lot. So how then, I'm going to assume that you're the kind of leader who knows how to tap into your really great teachers and teachers who have adapted to newer, more modern, more innovative instruction. So assuming then that you have those teachers who are not only great classroom teachers and instructors, but also are those leaders in your building. How do you tap into them? How do you, you know, utilize the human resources, the talent that you have in your building to make the entire building, the staff, the students, the leadership that much better?
I think it begins with empowering them to make decisions, empowering them to get out of their classrooms and go see other people. So I purposely schedule time and I take my Title I money and I go and purchase substitutes so that my teachers can get out of their classrooms and get in other classrooms and see the other great things that teachers are doing. And then providing time for them to have conversations about, like giving them feedback, asking questions about, well, why do you do it that way? Like, what have you found? The problem with that, I think that happens with teachers, is we get stuck in our classrooms. We have our lesson plans in a drawer and we kind of go back to them year after year. We're not usually able to get out and see all the great things happening in our school. And so I think that's a really important thing, is that we provide teachers with the opportunity to get out and just see the great things happening. I also like to go. And so every month I have a staff meeting, and every month I assign a grade level to go and speak to my whole staff and just share something great that's happening in her classroom, something that they're doing, and kind of like provide a small PD. And it's 20 to 30 minutes at the most, but it allows me to, A, I'm not singling out all my really strong teachers who already have a lot on their plate, but I'm allowing them all to go and present what they're doing and what they know and sharing that wealth of knowledge across the whole staff. And I think it's important to give them that opportunity to speak and to present and encourage them to just keep getting better. I think, you know, we want our classrooms to be engaging and exciting and providing students with opportunities to collaborate. We have to go and model that in our staff meetings. If we're not doing that in our staff meetings, we're kind of missing the boat. So I think for me, it's just really giving them opportunities to get out, see other people, and then giving them a chance to present and share their knowledge with the rest of our staff.
Yeah, I love that. You know, in a couple of different schools, a few different schools that I've been at, mostly in coaching roles, I've really tried my hardest, and it's been probably most difficult now during COVID times, but to plan and lead learning walks. And the way that I sort of sell it to teachers, because, you know, let's be honest, classroom teachers don't love giving up, you know, prep time and things when they have a lot of things going on that they want to work on. And honestly speaking, classroom teachers are still pretty hesitant to allow other adults in their classroom. You know, they can allow 30 students in their classroom with no problem. They don't feel extra stress or pressure, but you put a couple extra adults in there, watch out. Now it's like a different story. But anytime we have, first I've sort of sold it to the teachers as, look, I have the amazing privilege as a coach to see what's happening in so many different classrooms across the school. And I not only get to see the amazing things that are happening, but I've learned so much from all of you. I just want you guys to learn more from each other, sort of in action and in the moment. And a lot of times that works pretty well. But what really works well is when the teachers can actually get to see what their colleagues are doing in the classroom. And it is really powerful. And I think whether you call them learning walks, which I like, or instructional rounds is another one. To me, that sounds a little bit more evaluative, and it's not really meant to be like that. But whatever you call them, whatever your school likes, whatever your district likes, I'm a big fan of opportunities like that, just because, again, I know how much I learn from watching other teachers in action, and especially that I'm in roles that when I'm in roles that don't have me evaluating them, so they know that I'm not there to judge them, man, it's really, really powerful.
And you know, it's funny, you just said exactly what was going through my head, and that's the reason I don't give it a title, is because then they automatically think when people are coming into rooms, it's going to be evaluative. That's not the purpose of them. The purpose of them is to get you out and see the great things that are happening in the school around you. We don't need always to go and pay for these expensive speakers and these different programs. We have a wealth of knowledge right there in our own school, and we have to be willing to share that. I have a couple new teachers for the first time in many years that actually joined my school, and my veteran teachers have done such a great job of inviting them in to observe lessons, to coming to their PLCs, to go and give them ideas and feedback. I have a fifth grade teacher who she's new to the school. She's new to teaching fifth grade. And my fifth grade teacher or my third grade teachers, they're up there. They're talking to her. They're giving her ideas. They're helping her plan. They're helping her strategize of how, like strategies that she can use in her classroom to go and help these kids when it comes time for testing. Like they're already thinking ahead of things that I may have missed. They're just taking her under their wing and they're just helping her grow. It's amazing. And I love the culture that we've built. And I think, you know, if you empower teachers to the point where they can go and make decisions and do stuff like this, they'll really shock you and they'll get out there and they'll really do it and they'll do it well.
You know, I'm going to share a little bit more of myself personally than I normally would here, because I've been doing for a little while now, sort of a, I don't know whether you'd call it a diet or a weight loss plan program using an app called Noom. And one of the things that Noom sort of warns you against in terms of eating is feeling that pressure, so to speak, from when you're having meals with other people. But it's sort of the opposite. I don't know. That just popped into my head because as you're speaking, I'm thinking like it's the exact opposite really when it comes to teaching, or at least it should be, because I could see that maybe some teachers would feel intimidated if they visit another classroom where they see a teacher doing amazing things, whether it's the way that they manage their classroom or the way they plan and execute on their instructional practices. But man, it could be so inspiring as well. And to be honest, as this conversation has gone by, I think my biggest takeaway has definitely come from that aspect that you speak of in terms of how you can tap into your resources there and how you can really, to take the word out of your mouth, empower the teachers in your schools to step up their game more, basically, whether that's through connecting or in this case, those learning walks or whatever you call them. If you don't want to call them anything, like Rob doesn't have a title that he likes, that's fine too. But yeah, it's definitely finding a way to tap into the experiences, the skills, the talents that people have. My school did that earlier this school year, where instead of having more of like a district-led PD, we said we want the teachers who we know in the building are doing the best, so to speak, we want them to be the experts and lead the sessions and teach everybody what they know and hopefully inspire some development and some innovation when it comes to especially using technology now that we have to have been forced into using it more and more. But you know, it's been great, and I really appreciate that you said how to use the teachers that you have as the experts and not even bring in like outside help.
Absolutely. And you know, like I'm fortunate, I have a veteran staff. Our average years of experience is 23. So there's a wealth of knowledge in the building. And so I've really been able to allow them to do a lot and to share, and it's been very beneficial.
That's crazy. If that's accurate, that's crazy that your average teacher has been teaching for 20 plus years. I guess a follow-up quick question there is, do you feel like you have a little bit more resistance or hesitation when it comes to learning new things then? I guess in a way I feel bad stereotyping, but there is that stereotype out there that kind of says like the longer someone is in the profession, then the more sort of closed off and closed-minded or fixed mindset they might have toward newer, more innovative instruction.
And you have to know your people.
And so, I don't want you to throw your staff under the bus here, but I'm just curious, what kind of challenges do you face with such a veteran staff?
You know, and to be honest with you, Dan, like, There can be, and you know, you can kind of get locked in your ways, but like the one thing is you can't just go and throw stuff at a veteran staff. You can't just say, hey, I got this new innovative idea. We're going to run with it and we're just going to throw it out there. You have to take your time with it. You have to get the buy-in. You have to show them the benefit. One of the greatest compliments I ever got was from a veteran teacher. And when I came in, I basically said, hey, this is something we're going to do. And I put in basically small group rotations and how we were going to run them, and really said, this is going to be our framework. This is what we're following. This is what we're going to do. And I have a teacher who she has always had excellent scores on testing and state assessments and all that. And she pushed back and she had some resistance. And at the end of the school year, she came up to me and she's like, I am so happy you forced me into that. She's like, I'm happy because it has completely changed the way I look at teaching and the way I do things in my classroom now. And she's like, and I'll never go back to what I've always done. You have to take the time and you have to help them and support them. If you just go and say, hey, you guys are going to do this, here's what you're doing, and you walk away from it and just let it happen, I can guarantee you it's not going to happen in your school. You have to be there with them. You have to support them. You have to ask them, hey, what can I do to help? What can I show you? What can we do? And that's actually where the, you know, what you call learning walks, that's kind of where they started, is we started doing those so people can get out and see other people doing it, how they were actually handling it in their classroom. And it became really beneficial as time went on. And I think that's my best advice for people with veteran staff is roll stuff out slowly and take your time with it. And you're going to be really happy with what you see.
That's great advice. And that's kind of where I want to leave things there. But I do, you know, you mentioned your podcast before. I want to talk about some of the projects that you're working on, especially the book. I want to give you a chance to explain about the book a little bit more. Guiding Principles is the podcast. And so what's I understand the book is basically written. Do you know when it might come out and what kind of ideas and things are in there?
Sure. So the book's going to come out probably mid to late April, right in time for interviewing season. So the book is really, it's called Taking the Leap, and it is a guidebook or field book for aspiring school leaders. And the whole idea is it walks you through really kind of understanding who you are, analyzing yourself, analyzing the school, understanding the data and what it says, but then it takes you through a whole step of reflecting. What skills do you have? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What experiences do you have in a bunch of different areas as a school leader? And then there's a whole section based around interviewing prep and interviewing questions, how to prepare questions for the interview panel, how to navigate those things, tips and tricks, different ideas for when you walk into interviews and during your preparation. Really what I wanted to do is develop something that helps people when they get done their different types of preparation programs for moving into school administration to help them navigate that time between the end of their program and getting into the seat. And because sometimes that's really tricky. You're walking in not knowing what things look like, how they're framed, how they work, who you need to talk to, what you need to do. So the book is really there to help support them so they don't feel alone. Because at this time, they still don't know who to connect with. They don't know who to talk to. And they don't have that PLN probably in place for moving to that leadership role. And that's really, I want to make sure that they felt supported and that they had something to turn to that's going to help guide them along and help them be successful.
That's great, man. And asking for a friend, let's just assume that someone is not fresh out of their master's or doctorate program in leadership, but they still aspire to a more official title, a more official administrative role. Will this book also help them?
Absolutely. It's for anybody who wants to basically go back and kind of reflect on all the skills they have and prepare them for that AP or principal interview. And it's not just for teachers looking to transition into those roles. It's also for APs looking to transition, instructional coaches looking to transition. If you're looking to get into any type of official title, AP or principal role, that's who this book is written for. And it's going to help them take that next step into that position.
Well, that's awesome, man. Congratulations on all of that. We talked about the podcast. The book sounds really exciting. I love reading about that type of stuff, honestly, that leadership development, whether I'm pursuing another opportunity or not. I know plenty of people out there are, and so I know they can get a lot of help there. And I think probably by the time this episode airs, that book will be just weeks away from being published. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to be maybe one of the first places you go to help pitch that. So please, one more time before you go, let everyone know again where they can find the book when it does come out soon, your podcast again, and definitely how they can connect with you on socials and websites and everything that you have.
Absolutely. So again, the book is called Taking the Leap. It's a field book for aspiring principals. Or aspiring school leaders, I guess I should say. And it's being printed by Road to Awesome Publishing, and it's Darren Pippard, and you can contact him on Twitter. And then I had the Guiding Principles podcast, which you can listen to. It comes out every other week, so it's a bi-monthly podcast, and it's really focusing on great things happening in schools and the leadership that it takes to get those schools to where they are. So if you're looking for ideas and something that you can do and implement in your school very easily, You should check it out. And then you can contact me on Twitter at RBLeads. And then you can also get a hold of me on Instagram at the same thing at RBLeads. And then, you know, you can always email me at robertfbreyer@gmail.com. And I'd love to connect with you and talk.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the amazing work that you do to connect with other leaders and other educators out there as we're connected through the Teach Better Mastermind. But definitely thank you for the work that you're doing in your school and with your staff as well.
Hey, Dan, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show. This is really an honor, and it's really a pleasure to get to sit and talk to you today.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.